DailyVral.com's official podcast. I'm Dan, managing editor for the site, and I'm here with Nick Butler, the owner of the site. Say hi, Nick.
Hello.
And I'm here with also two of our writers from the staff, Scott and Ian. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
And today we're doing a special summer movie preview Vralcast, and I hope you guys will enjoy what we're talking about, because the summer is the best time of the year for the movies. And so let's kick it off with May. So first I'm going to say some of the big releases for the year, then we're, for the month, and then we're going to get right into the good ones, at least, hopefully. So we got May 1st, we got Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, then X-Men Origins Wolverine. May 8th, we got Next Day Air and Star Trek. May 15th, we got Angels and Demons. May 21st, we have Terminator Salvation. May 22nd, we have Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian. And then, last but not least, May 29th, we have Drag Me to Hell and Pixar's Up. So, what are you guys most excited about? Anybody, jump in.
Oh, the, not all at once now, not at all at once.
Okay, Nick, what are you excited about this month?
Personally, I'm excited about Angels and Demons. I was a big fan of the Da Vinci Code, and I'm looking forward to the sequel.
Yeah, I found the movie, the Da Vinci Code, did not really live up as much to the book, but it was still very entertaining.
Yeah, and Tom Hanks does a great job in his movies. Awesome. This is one of the few movies he's in anymore.
I know, really. He's the book for Angels and Demons, I think, translates better to a film than Da Vinci Code too. So that'll be interesting.
Yep.
Another thing about Angels and Demons is it'll probably have a District 9 trailer in front of it, which we've been waiting for forever now.
Yeah, forever, actually.
Is it going to be that film they're doing it?
It might be, because that's like the only relatively big Sony release coming out in the next few weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
point. Right.
Unless they throw it in front of Obsessed, but...
Wow. Because that movie's going to get tons of people.
Oh, yeah, that's just going to destroy everything.
There's nothing like...
Too many to count in one hand.
I don't know what, because you know, I don't want. Why would anybody cheat on Beyonce? That's what I want to know.
Some bad judgment.
Yeah, that's stupid. So my movie I'm most excited about, as you all can imagine, is Star Trek. I have on the website. I have an article on a non-Trekkie's guide to Star Trek. So hopefully that'll get some people. A little bit up to speed. You don't have to be necessary to enjoy it, from my understanding, but it makes everything better. They even have, one of their virals they have is the Star Trek Countdown comics, which are supposed to kind of bridge the gap between the last movie and this movie. But, I don't know, what do you guys think of the new movie? Have you seen the trailers and everything, so what do you guys think?
Looks good. I obviously, from looking at your Trekkie guide there, it filled me in on a lot more stuff than I've known. I mean, I think everybody knows a little bit about Star Trek, so. Mm. And, of course, the fact that you've got J.J. Abrams touching it, which, you know, throws a big hype onto it. The trailers themselves, I mean, are high quality, so it should be decent. I think he did the same thing kind of with Cloverfield, where he threw in some, you know, non-large-name actors, with the exception of Zachary Quinto there, but it looks pretty exciting, to be honest with you, so.
Yeah, the music from the trailers was just dynamite. I mean, that's one of the things I think that made the trailer so like epic is the great music behind it that just gave it some major force. Except for that last one, there's that that last one just had such horrible. It was really badly edited, and the music was kind of funny.
Well, I think even David had mentioned too on the forum that was, you know, a special trailer.
Yeah, you had to reach out to anybody, you know. So I think that was trying to reach out to like the young, kind of hip, you know, the guy. They're trying to get the Fast and the Furious crowd, I think.
Yeah, the fight scene crowd. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Should be, but so no. I myself am. I don't know. I personally am looking forward to Drag Me to Hell. I've mentioned on the forum that you know, it's Sam Raimi is going to hopefully come back and, you know, do the horror stuff that he should be doing. And no offense to Spider-Man movies, they're great, but I want to see him get back into, you know, odd camera angles from Evil Dead and creepy storylines and in-your-face, you know, stuff that gets Ian scared.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm going to go back to Star Trek for a second. What, between the last movie and this one, what is there to bridge the gap with?
Well, I mean, like I said, I haven't actually read the book yet, so I'll do a review of that on the site. But the idea is that, you know, this takes place. The main bad guy in this film, Nero, who's played by Eric Bana, he comes from the future, And so he's from a future that's a little bit past the last movie, which is Nemesis. So the idea is, the question is, you know, what kind of brought this guy to come back and try to, you know, do whatever he's doing? And this kind of helps explain a little bit of that, I think, and just try to get you into the right atmosphere of to try to understand why would someone do this. I mean, it has the Next Generation characters in it, which is really cool. And then it was released in four parts, like once each month starting in January, but then now they just released them all together in one. And that's obviously the best way to get it, because otherwise they're pretty thin otherwise.
Because you need a reason to fire everything now?
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Now, I saw the same thing, too, with the Generation people that were in there, but I guess they're not really going to have anything to do with the movie itself, right?
Right, they're not going to be in the movie, and I think that's one of the things one of the reasons they did this was to kind of, to give some of the Trekkie fans, you know, some of the Trekkies a little bit of a mouth-watering, you know, to give them a little bit of something, throw them a bone, by putting them in at least this comic book in between it. Because they're not, the thing is to try to create a clean slate while not completely obliterating the canon. And that's one of the reasons why they're not going to have, you know, they're bringing back the old guys, like, you know, with Leonard Nimoy, but they're not going to try to stick in the Next Generation guys. Maybe down the future they may try to put them in a little bit, but I think they're going to try to stick with the new guys. They got to try to put this on their own footing, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, Drive Me to Hell looks pretty scary. I mean, Evil Dead is a masterpiece of horror film. It's just I didn't like the second one, but the first one was just amazing. And obviously, the third one's so cheese-tastic awesome. So
that was the appeal. So it doesn't look as if the one's going to have any of that cheese-tastic, you know, appeal. But I think it's, you know, the fact that he's going back to his horror roots. And
right. Yeah, that first one was just – the Evil Dead was just such a great film. The first time I saw it, I was just like, whoa, who's this guy? This guy did Spider-Man? Because I saw it after Spider-Man. I was like, this guy did Spider-Man.
Oh, really? Okay.
I was like, whoa.
I think hopefully he'll have some of that fast camera work in there too that he was known for back in those movies. That was, you know, that was his signature.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that brought back.
Yeah,
like I said, the trailer played in front of movies like that. And Shat Bricks with Fear. I mean, I had no idea what it was. And all of a sudden Demon Lady breaks the window in this chick's car with like a staple in her head. I was like, oh god, that's gotta suck in makeup every day.
Nice.
But I'm going to wait until that's on TV because I'm too scared to go to the theater and see that. I'll let my 12-year-old sister handle that one for me.
There you go. the other big movie chock full of great films, X-Men Origins comes out just a couple weeks with Wolverine. What do you guys think of the trailers you've seen from that? What are you expecting?
Honestly, I don't know. It just seems a little too much, but tight jeans and tank tops and no shirts and stuff. It just seems a little odd for me.
Well, if you have a man crush on Hugh Jackman, you're set for life with this film.
I personally like Ryan Reynolds as an actor. I like him in Blade Trinity, so I'm hoping that, you know, he does a pretty decent Deadpool. I don't know. I'm not a huge comic book follower. I know from, you know, basically the pictures of Deadpool and the story of him that I'd like to see that, and hopefully they, you know, bust it out in full mask and, you know, put it to its advantage, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just kind of see it as like a, you know, a popcorn movie just to watch some great action, and Hugh Jackman's Wolverine is just one of the better roles of the last 10 years, I think, so just that alone just made me want to watch it. And, all right, so that's another big one. Oh, Terminator Salvation, of course. We've had some crazy viral for that, and some of the trailers for that have just, you know, I think this will blow Terminator 3 out of the water.
Well, not like that'll be hard to do, though.
I know.
Terminator Salvation is a movie where, for me personally, I mean, I'm ridiculously excited for it. I can't wait to see that in theaters. I mean, and I've seen the first three, and I'm not like a hardcore Terminator fan, but something about this one just looks so amazing and promising.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely has a certain... One of the things when I saw the third film... Actually, I think even when I saw the second one, I was thinking this too. I'm like, man, I just want to see what it was like during the war. Like that's what I kept thinking, especially in the third one, because you're not enjoying it too much. And you're just like, man, I really want to see what the war is like. So now you really finally get a chance to do that. And that alone is just... It's going to blow your mind, I think, the way that... Just to see that kind of action between the machines and the humans.
Yeah. I've never seen any of the Terminators.
You haven't?
But I haven't seen any Star Wars either, but I think this Terminator looks really good. And it, like, even though I still haven't seen any of the Terminators, I still think I'm going to go see this.
So it still
interests me.
That's good.
Well, Terminator, I think, Terminator is one of the franchises where the second movie was better than the first, in my opinion, at least.
I think everyone's opinion.
The third one, I'll be honest, I don't remember much from the third one. I think the only real thing I remember is some fight scene where Arnold had a coffin in his hand or whatever.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
It's like the only thing I remember from the third one.
Yeah, that's pretty much all there was. Yeah, no, the second one, I mean, Terminator 2 is one of the better pictures in general in the last 20, 30 years. I mean, it's just it's just a masterpiece of action.
Was T3 the one with the hot Terminator chick?
Yes.
Okay.
See, you remember two things from that film. So
yeah, cool, okay. I can do this.
No, this is great, because I think it'll really kind of, like one of the things that Linda Hamilton didn't want to do the third one, but she's lending her voice for this one. So there's a lot of people who are kind of, throwing their hats in the ring, saying, like, look, this is kind of the real deal. This is not just your Terminator 4. This is going to be a new start, I think.
Yeah, and, I mean, the thing is, you look at the director, Mick G, and he doesn't have a whole lot of credit behind him,
sure,
for his past films. But then you look at it, what he's doing with this movie and what he's at least trying to do. I mean, Linda Hamilton doing the voiceover, trying to get Arnold in there, which is kind of controversial. But you can tell he definitely has the right heart for this movie, and I definitely think he'll pull it off.
Yeah, it'd be good to see him break out of that Charlie's Angels rut.
Yeah.
That, have him do something that I think that maybe, show his worth.
This is a make or break film for him, I think.
Yeah.
I just want to watch the scene that where Christian Bale lost it with the lighting guy, just so I can be like, oh, that's why he did it.
Put that on like the DVD as like an extra or something.
It all makes sense. Once you see that scene, it all makes sense.
That's right. You'll feel better for him. You'll be like,
that was viral for the film.
There you go.
Yeah. Do we know what scene from the movie that was in, though?
I'm actually not sure.
Apparently something about his mother dying or something like that. I don't know the whole, that if it's a flashback scene or something, but it's supposed to be this huge emotional scene, so.
Yeah, we'll see.
Just and the guy was being amateur, so.
He was. He was doing the whole la-di-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo.
He was a nice guy and all.
La-di-da-di-da.
He was a nice guy and all, but it's not going to cut it.
Nope.
Okay, so that's the big stuff. I mean, Pixar's up. I don't know, For me, it looks kind of cute, maybe, but nothing. I don't think it's going to do as well monetarily wise, and also I don't think maybe quality wise as their previous films. What do you guys think?
No. I don't.
Oh, go ahead, Scott.
I just don't know if they're hyping it up enough. I don't know. You look at what The Incredibles with Pixar, right?
Right.
And Cars and all that stuff. I don't know. They just don't seem to be hyping it up enough.
Yeah.
It's like it's forgotten amongst all the other summer movies. So.
Some of it's just the fact that, it's based around an old guy. I mean, now I know that Pixar has a perfect track record so far. So, at some point, you got to do one that's not so good. So we'll see.
I think it's one of those, I don't know, it almost looks like a film that they just want to show off how well they can do graphics. So they put, thousands of balloons with different colors on the screen just to say, look what we can do with computers and,
yeah.
I don't know.
For me, Pixar is one of those studios who, like Dan said, they can't make a bad film. I mean, Toy Story, Bugs Life, Toy Story 2, WALL-E, all those, they're all amazing movies.
Monsters, Inc., everything, yeah.
Yeah, and you look at the other animation studios, I guess, DreamWorks and all that. I mean, yeah, they make good movies, but Pixar is just, the way they animate things and the way, like, their characters work, it's just something about Pixar stands out, and
right.
With Up, yeah, it's actually a really different approach to a movie for them, I guess you could say. But it just, like, you look at the trailers and Carl Fredrickson, I mean, what a perfect name for a box head dude to have, And then Russell, the little fat Boy Scout guy, is just perfect. And then there's the dog, whose name is Doug, which I love for personal reasons.
You would.
I would. His talking collar is incredible. I think that'll be really funny.
Yeah.
But it's... Because it's Pixar, I think it's just going to be an amazing movie. But the thing is, it's their 10th movie.
Right.
So I don't know, maybe this will be their movie that kind of drops them down a little bit.
Yeah.
Even if it isn't, sooner or later something is.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I bet you it has a good story and all that stuff. I just, like Scott's saying, I just think with the marketing of it and you know, it's a little bit tougher of a film to market. I mean, they finally started showing the dog in the last couple, the last trailer or two.
And, yeah, and
that's the thing. I think it might not do as well monetarily just because it just doesn't seem like a film. I mean, now, granted, I didn't think Ratatouille would do very well, but guess what? That made tons of money.
The thing is, people have gotten to the point where you see Pixar stamped on a movie and you automatically want to go take your kids to it.
Right.
Up, yeah, it's going to be a movie where it's not going to make as much money as maybe Cars or WALL-E did. But I definitely think it'll be a good movie regardless of box office numbers, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things when, you know, you guys know my friend at DreamWorks Animation, he's seen how Pixar does their films also. And Pixar just has a much more kind of, they look at the story first and then they do the animation. DreamWorks does this really weird thing, and I think you mentioned it in the podcast, that they kind of animate first, and then they do story, and then they go back and kind of animate again. So they do all this animation that just kind of ends up being thrown away. It just doesn't.
Yeah. But I think the main difference with DreamWorks and Pixar is DreamWorks, like I said, they make good movies like Kung Fu Panda and all those.
Right.
Kung Fu Panda is a good movie.
Right.
But WALL-E was a movie. Not only WALL-E, but Pixar movies in general. They just, something about them. They know how to make their characters.
Right.
Connect on like a personal level be really emotional.
Right.
Like WALL-E in the scenes like where at the end where WALL-E is dysfunctional and Eve's trying to fix him and she's breaking down in tears. I almost cried in the theater. I couldn't take it.
Yeah, they just know how to tell story at Pixar. That's the key.
They just know how to connect on a personal level with people.
I haven't seen WALL-E yet, so thanks for ruining it, Ian.
Oh, that's good.
That sucks. No, it's no. You still see it. That's really good.
It's so cute.
Although surprisingly, Kung Fu Panda actually beat him out in the I think they're called the Annies, the basically the Academy Awards of Animation. Kung Fu Panda actually beat out WALL-E for Best Picture. Surprisingly.
Did it really?
Yeah, I was really surprised by that. And Ryan was gloating in my face, but yeah.
Kung Fu Panda was good though.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen it yet. He was supposed to give me a free DVD, but he still hasn't gotten it for me.
Bastard.
All right, so any other May movies you guys want to talk about specifically?
I think there's a movie in May coming out called The Limits of Control, which I haven't really heard much about, but it looks actually really cool. I know that First Showing.net follows that a lot, so.
Yeah, the trailer for that, it looked really good. It looked, I don't know, it was just one of those, you know.
What's it about?
I don't even really get into it too much. It's just
I've read the plot before. It's I forgot it. I think it's like a high suspense thriller type movie. I just know Bill Murray's in it, so that's
yeah. No, definitely check out the trailer. It's cool.
Yeah,
looks like it's going to be a decent movie. It's just one of those movies that you know it's not going to. I don't. It might get noticed behind the scenes, but not while the other summer movies are out.
Yeah, it's that time of year. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a movie where only the high up Academy dudes knows it and see it and recognize it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what do you guys think is gonna be? There's some big movies coming out this month. So what do you think is gonna be the highest grossing film of May? I'll start off by saying I think I know this might be controversial. I think Star Trek's going to probably still make the most money. What about you guys? Scott?
I agree. Obviously, out of all the movies, I think there's only going to be a few of them that have the follow-up, you know, your Terminator and your Wolverine and stuff like that, but I think Star Trek obviously is going to have a larger fan base than anything. Right. You haven't had a movie in, what, 7 years, 8 years?
We haven't had a good movie in 7 or 8 years.
So I think, you know, that obviously the Trekkies and non-Trekkies and, you know, Abrams fans are all going to kind of flock to that one, and I think it's going to do very well.
Ian, what do you think?
I'm really split. I mean, Terminator and Star Trek, I think, are going to be the top two. Hmm. The thing is, Star Trek, how do I word this? I mean, Terminator has, it's hard to explain. Terminator has the bigger fan base where anyone can go watch it. Star Trek is mainly just like the hardcore Trekkies that are obviously going to be there like opening weekend or whatever. But Terminator just has something about it seems like so many more people are going to be interested in it. And I don't want to like bash your movie, Dan.
Right.
But they've
been pushing a big thing about Star Trek because that's always been the problem with Star Trek is that people feel like you can't get into it. And they've been pushing that with this movie is to try to get you to understand like you don't have to know Star Trek to enjoy this film. The question is, does the audience feel that? you know,
what they're doing, which is to their credit in their TV spots, they're just showing the high octane action scenes,
right,
which will probably draw more people in there just for the eye candy factor of it, where Terminator's doing the exact same thing. So they'll probably be really close in the box office, but I'm going to have to say Terminator's going to win this one over.
Keep in mind, too, Ian, too, because you had mentioned, you know, you got the hard, you know, the hardcore Trekkies and whatnot that are going to go the opening weekend. Well, that opening weekend, if it's big enough, is going to look nice for those that are not.
There's also going to be the word of mouth for Trekkies.
Yeah.
And word of mouth, I mean, you look at a movie like Watchmen. Word of mouth killed it.
Yeah. All right, Nick, what do you think?
I'm going to say Star Trek will be the top, but Terminator will be right behind.
Yeah, that would
be. It'll be close.
Yeah, Wolverine's something that's interesting to me where I'm trying to figure out, you know, how big. I bet you it'll have a big weekend, but I wouldn't be surprised if it just starts dropping after that, especially because you have Star Trek coming out. I think Wolverine's going to drop big time.
It was also leaked online, so.
That too. I don't know how much that really plays a part in it, though.
Yeah, I read something.
It's 100,000 downloads.
Really?
I don't remember where I read it. It might have been Slash Film or First Showing, but they did a poll where it was like 70% of guys said they would see it opening weekend and 60% of girls said they would see it opening weekend, which translates to a huge weekend.
Yeah, but that's also everyone who goes to First Showing, I think you said that, First Showing, is going to be people who are going to watch movies. That's not saying that
right.
Joe Schmo is going to go see it.
Yeah, go to Oprah.com and then do that same poll.
Right.
I don't remember who they said they polled. I just know it was big numbers for each set.
Wasn't the leaked version unedited?
Unedited.
Final layers and stuff, too. So,
right.
You know, you may have seen it, but, you know, obviously you want to see it on a big screen. I've seen it on your computer screen.
You might have seen it, but you haven't seen it.
Right. Well, then, right. But you're going to get people who see that part of it, and maybe it wasn't that good because it wasn't, you know, the final cut, but they're going to think, oh, that's the movie, and then they're going to be like, why should I bother paying?
Right.
It doesn't look good, but maybe once it's edited right, it'll be good. And right. So there's people who are going to be like, oh, I'm not going to bother seeing it if it's this bad. But they don't realize it's going to be better.
I haven't heard reviews from anyone who saw it, so I don't know whether or not they
saw it, but I'm not sure, you know.
Oh.
Who knows?
What does that mean?
I don't really. All right.
Did anyone know what origin movie they're doing after Wolverine?
They're doing Magneto.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah,
they've been working on that for a while, haven't they?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to come out in 2011.
They're doing like one every 2 years?
I think it's something like that.
I'm completely clueless. How many X-Men are there, like five?
I don't know how many they're covering. I'm not sure. I know Wolverine was the first one, obviously, that they wanted to do because of the fact that he was such a big character and really, really popular, but I'm not sure who else they're going to do.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think is going to be the biggest flop of May? What do you guys think? I'm interested in that. Or what do you think is the worst? What do you think is going to be the worst of these, like quality wise?
That we covered.
Or any of them. I think, like for instance, Ghost of Girlfriend's Past probably won't be a very good film.
I haven't even heard of that until like a couple of days.
It's like a romantic. It's a romantic.
I kind of feel. Go ahead, Nick.
I haven't heard of it until right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer for it, and I kind of felt bad. I kind of thought I liked it.
You liked it?
Matthew McConaughey's in it. That's going to get a lot of.
I mean, it's going to get a following. I don't know. It doesn't look awful. No. You know, it's a pretty decent idea to take, you know, that mix of, you know, Christmas Past and throw it in there with, you know, your ex-girlfriend.
It's such a tired idea.
You know, like, idea, but so I don't know if it's going to be the worst movie. I think, like we said too, some of those smaller movies like Limited Control may not get noticed at all, and they could
still be an amazing movie.
Yeah.
They could still be a great movie and not get noticed, but I don't know. There's a few movies out there.
It's hard to say quality wise. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, I might have to say Angels and Demons.
Hmm. I'm going to say X-Men is going to be out of the most anticipated X-Men.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
No, it's Terminator can end up sucking.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, ups. None of these are really kind of surefire bets. I think a lot of these are lingering on certain aspects. There's so many things like, you know, it could be really great or it could be really bad. You know, you have so many factors involved that make these kind of unsure.
I'm going to go off one that we didn't cover and say Night at the Museum is going to be the worst one.
No, that did pretty well. Didn't the first one do pretty well?
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah.
I thought the first one was cute, so I don't know. I mean,
I think this one will do okay because, you know, they got the same basic ideas, you know, so.
Yeah, it'll do okay box office wise.
I don't think it'll be very good. It's a tired idea.
That's all it takes is to do okay.
That's all that matters. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to June. And I'm running the list real quick of June movies. We got June 5th, we got Away We Go, The Hangover, and Land of the Lost. June 12th, we have Imagine That and The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. June 19th, we have The Proposal in Year 1. June 24th, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen. And then June 26th, we have The Hurt Locker. And mind you, in all these, I'm not mentioning the limited releases. So out of these movies, I think the big elephant in the room will be Transformers here.
I would have said Land of the Lost.
Oh, really? The dinosaur in the room is Land of the Lost.
Yeah.
I think Land of the Lost will probably hold the box office until Transformers comes out.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of older people are mad that Will Ferrell's in it.
Really?
Because I guess that's a classic TV show.
Whatever.
Yeah, it is. It just seems more like an unnecessary reboot of something.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that never should have been serviced.
I'm going to see it because Will Ferrell's in it, and I'm a big Will Ferrell fan.
And it's to their credit, it is something that kids will want to go see, and parents who like the show can go take their kids to it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the old show, I used to watch it when I was younger. I used to watch the old show and in reruns, and it was fun, but it was a little what's the word I'm looking for? Like Star Trek? It's like Star Trek in the 60s. Like, it has that kind of cheesy, kind of not really good quality to it. So I think it's interesting to see them try to do this in a real way, although, to really kind of push the comedy route of it. It didn't seem like it was much of a comedy to me.
It wasn't. Not the original, no. It was...
No, it wasn't. So it seems like they're trying to push the comedy on this one, which is a little interesting idea to do.
Yeah, it seems like they are pushing the comedy factor, but in the trailers it didn't look like that much of a comedy. I don't know whether they're marketing it as a comedy, as an adventure, as a thriller.
Well, I think if Will Ferrell's in it, it's a comedy.
It's a comedy.
Yeah, but some of his recent movies haven't been...
Yeah, not all of his films are, but I think the big thing is I was reading an article where they're saying, the comedy isn't about like, oh, let's make a really stupid looking dinosaur. It's about let's make some really, good graphics and then do the comedy off of that. And so it is a comedy, but they're trying to make it realistic and big budget and everything because they think that's going to help with the laughs. That was what I read about it.
Yeah.
And so let's go ahead and go back to the Transformers thing. that's always going to be the big movie, I think, of maybe even the whole summer, but definitely of June, it looks like. What do you guys think? I mean, they haven't released a trailer for that, right, have they? Or
they had the teaser in front of Friday the 13th. They'll have a full-length trailer in front of Star Trek.
That's right. So,
yep.
I don't know, what do you guys think?
Go see it.
Yeah. Nick?
I'm going to see it. I think it looks good. I like the first one a lot, and I think, they can definitely do a lot with the second one.
Mm-hmm. It's good. But, it's good when you get past the whole "let's introduce all these guys" thing, and then you can kind of really get into the meat of it sometimes.
Right.
For the first one, for me, it was definitely eye candy. It was great. There were definitely a lot of problems with it. I'm not a big John Turturro fan in this film. I mean, usually John Turturro is pretty good, but in this film, he was just over the top. But in general, it was cool, and it was just, I kept ragging on the film, saying like, oh, it's stupid problems with it. But then I got it on DVD, so I can't say much.
Yeah, I didn't see it until it came on TV, and I remember before that just being like, stupid idea. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And then I'm watching it at like 2 a.m. on TV with my jaw on the floor the whole time, going, oh my god, this is amazing.
It looks so cool. And then I watched the animated one from the 80s, the animated film, and I was like, I should have been much kinder to the new film because the old film is so bad. The 1980s version is so horrible. It's like like Supergirl horrible. It's just bad.
Well, the first movie it wasn't a work of art. And graphics wise, yes, it was because it's probably the most amazing graphics, of all time. But the quality wise, yeah, definitely a lot of problems. It's a Michael Bay movie. It's eye candy. There's lots of explosions and lots of boom, boom, bang, bang.
But I think the second one, looks a lot of good stuff. A lot of new concepts they're putting in there, new bots and everything.
It's just gonna be ramped up so extreme.
Yeah, I think it'll be definitely a fun ride. I think it'll easily take over the box office for June, maybe even the whole summer.
I would say it's gonna be the whole summer.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Devastator on IMAX, dude. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Yep.
Star Trek will also be on IMAX, by the way. Just to kind of throw that in there.
A lot of movies should be on IMAX, but not a lot of movies have a giant 120-foot Constructicon genius thing.
Yeah.
I but they're not going to have a big spaceship going warp speed. and firing everything.
And saving 801 lives in 12 minutes.
Yes, exactly.
But Transformers is probably the movie that I'm following the closest right now.
Right.
As you play the section in the forum.
Yeah, I wish I had some viral. That'd be kind of cool. But they don't need it, so.
Yeah, I think
maybe they will. Just old site.
Say what?
Yeah.
I think they pretty much just took their old site and updated it, and, you know, so it was one of those just carry over from the previous
hype. Yeah, so. They don't need it. They don't need viral. They're doing so well.
Yeah.
Okay, so the trailer just came out for this pretty recently, The Hangover. I thought it looked hilarious, and I'm really excited to see this.
That's, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we talk about Transformers being the big movie, but that's the one that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, me too.
It looks perfect. You know, it just looks perfect.
I just love the
setup, the, you know, the acting, the plot, everything.
The characters.
Looks perfect.
Yeah, the actors in it it's everything you want in a comedy. So,
everything you want, comedy, plus Mike Tyson singing Phil Collins. So you cannot go wrong.
That was so great. Did you guys see Nick, did you see the trailer?
No, I didn't.
You gotta watch it, that's funny. You know, but you always have to be aware of those kind of things where, like, you know, the trailer looks amazing, but then you watch the film and you're like, oh, wait, all the comedy was in the trailer. That happens sometimes. So this doesn't look like it'd be one of those, but you never know.
Well, I think that one, you know, I don't think that's going to be the problem. I think that problem is going to fall with, like, year one. I think that's just going to be bland one that, you know, the trailer looks decent, you know, you laugh and everything, but how much of that can you really do back in, you know, that time frame? You can't really, you know, oh, hey, give me a call kind of, you know, humor that you just can't have it in kind of a movie. So I think that was just going to be.
Yeah, and they're gonna have a problem because unless they re-edit it, they went through the MPAA and they got stuck with an R rating.
And that's killing the box office.
Yeah, so that's going to hurt it because it's already been getting kind of, you know, mixed reviews on its trailers and the press for it. And so that plus an R rating is just... Kind of, that's not going to be so good for it.
Yeah. I think The Hangover, I haven't seen the trailer for it, but I think The Hangover, that's going to do well in the box office is the people who don't want to go see Transformers. I mean, Transformers is going to be the movie where all the moms are taking their 8-year-old boys to go see it, and me. But The Hangover is going to be, the audience that's going to go see that is going to be people like my dad who doesn't want to see Transformers. I don't think it'll do too well in the box office, but it's not going to be a flop.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not going to take over, but I think it's just going to be one of those movies that's just not going to get a bad review. I think it's just going to do well and carry its own. And
in the time frame that it's in, you know, it's a comedy, and it's up against Land of the Lost, and then and there's nothing really kind of fighting it until maybe year one, and then. But you know, again, we talked about how it's not going to do well. It really doesn't have much competition until Transformers. You know,
right?
You know, you have Hangover, Land of Lost, and then you have, you know, 2 weeks or over 2 weeks, and then finally you have Transformers. So I think that alone is going to be what makes Hangover so good. If you had Hangover come out and then, you know, Star Trek or something come out right after it, okay, then I could see it just dying. It's actually, it looks like the same kind of base. I think you're young. Or even older kind of men is where it's really going to be funny because it's that R kind of movie. So, but just because of the movies that are coming out after it, it looks like it's something that could last for a couple weeks before Transformers hits.
In my opinion, I think the first week of June is going to be Land of the Lost and then The Hangover, and then the second week of June on the 12th, I think the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 is going to knock The Hangover out of its second place.
Yeah, that movie looks pretty. I know, I think, was it Corey who was really interested in that film? He was really excited for it.
I'm totally into that movie. I'm digging that.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
I love the trailer.
What it is.
Huh?
I don't even know what it is. I mean, I know, you know, who's in it and everything, but I haven't even been interested enough to even watch a trailer or a teaser, whatever's out.
Yeah,
I passed it by too. I was like, yeah, whatever, not interested in that. And then I watched the trailer, and I was like, okay, I'm seeing that.
Ian, explain what from what you understand from the trailer, what you think the film's about.
It's a remake originally of a movie with the same title. It's about this dude, John Travolta. It kind of plays into the whole cat and mouse hostage situation thing. Mm-hmm. So John Travolta goes, hijacks the subway train in L.A., contacts the control station or whatever, and Denzel Washington is the guy that he gets a hold of. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you give me these people, or not the people, you give me this amount of money, and I don't kill these people on board.
Mm-hmm. See, it's those kind of movies that, you know what, if you're going to hijack a subway, you should probably call somebody a little bit more higher up than... a control operator. And I know you guys are going to give me grief, but, you know, Independence Day. It's, you know, the cable guy saves the day and stuff like that. It's just, you know, come on.
It's cliche.
Go for the higher up.
Yeah, it definitely is cliche, yeah. And like I said, it's a remake, but definitely, Scott, I would definitely watch the trailer. Just give it a chance, dude.
I'll check it out.
Wouldn't you say the same thing if he hijacks a train and then, or subway and then calls the police and has a negotiator on the phone? Isn't that
what a lot of films do? Bus, not being able to go above 55 miles an hour.
Right, speed.
Yeah, that's what movies are made of, though. It's always about, you know, your average guy saving the day. That's what a movie's about. You know, no one wants to see, you know, the perfect person saving the day. You know, like, the guy who's supposed to save the day, save the day. You know, it's not that interesting. It's always about...
It's a total cliche plot, but John Travolta, when you see him in that movie, it looks like he was born to play that role.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
I love John Travolta playing bad roles, like in Punisher. It's just,
something about him just seems so perfect for that role.
He just chews the scenery up.
I'll warn you now, though, Scott, the trailer has a Perfect Circle song in it.
That's fine. I like Perfect Circle.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought you didn't.
No, moving on. No. Yeah, I don't know. I, to be honest with you, I personally think that's probably going to be one of those movies that's forgotten by the end of the year.
Yeah.
It'll definitely be forgotten, but I think it'll do modest in the box office.
Probably do well on DVDs, too. When you have actors like Denzel and stuff like that, you're going to see good DVD sales on it.
Yeah.
So, Nick, any films in June other than what we talked about that you want to talk about?
No, not really.
Well, thanks.
You don't want to talk about The Hurt Locker?
I think all.
you don't want to talk about The Proposal? Come on.
let's talk about it now.
Wasn't there a movie coming out in June called Moon?
Moon, yeah.
Yeah, Moon. It's a limited release.
People are raving about.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much about it. I know Sam Rockwell's in it. It's been getting some really great ratings from, like, it was at Sundance and...
Peter Serrata from Slash Film and Bill
Lincoln. I think the whole movie is just Sam Rockwell. I don't think there's anybody else in the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he's just on the moon.
Yeah, he's an astronaut, yeah. Huh.
And it's like a tiny budget movie. I think it had a budget of like $1 million. It's a little sci-fi indie movie, and it looks like fun.
That's cool. Yeah,
a trailer just came out today for it, so
I'll have to check that out. Very interesting. All right, I think we got the big June stuff out of the way. Let's, except for the crappy Imagine That. I can't trust Eddie Murphy in anything anymore.
No one can.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because Imagine That is basically like bedtime stories, to my understanding. From what I understand, and so that's kind of sad.
Yeah, it does seem exactly like that.
That's sad. All right, so let's move on to July.
His last movie was Meet Dave, and that was so bad that Fox had put a giant Eddie Murphy head on the back of their cars.
There you go.
Look at it. I think it made like $5 million in the box office.
I miss you, Axel Foley. All right, so let's go to July. So July 1st, Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs. July, and we have Public Enemies coming out that day as well. July 10th, we have Bruno, and then I Love You, Beth Cooper. July 17th, we have 500 Days of Summer, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, and then In the Loop. July 24th, we have All Good Things, G-Force, Orphan, and The Ugly Truth. And then lastly, we have July 31st, Funny People and They Came from Upstairs. I want to hear from Nick, because I haven't heard a whole lot from Nick. I want to hear, what are you interested in this month?
I think the biggest thing is going to be Harry Potter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Money-wise.
I think that's obvious.
Money-wise, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to Ice Age.
Really?
Really?
I am. I know that kind of sounds funny, but I like the first two.
I mean, they're perfectly pleasant films. I mean, I can see why, you know, you know what you're getting when you're sitting in theater. you're getting some good, you know, nice laughs, and you know, they were good. I mean, Fox hasn't done a whole lot in the animation section, so it's, you know, the Ice Age is kind of their tent pole, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Ice Age, it kind of seems like an unnecessary prequel, but you look at the cast, I mean, they got a great cast in that movie, and they always... It'll definitely do good in box office. It's in 3D, it appeals to the younger kids. All the kids love the first two. It's got the cute little squirrel trying to get his acorn the whole time, you know?
I love that. So the other movie came out that same day, totally different audience.
Oh, God.
Or is it?
Oh, no. Kid's going to see that, too.
Surprise.
No, but that movie looks... I mean, I saw the trailer for that, and I was like, I was pretty blown away. That looks good.
Yeah.
Public Enemies?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God. Incredible.
Yeah, I think that'll be probably the big one. Well, I mean, obviously Harry Potter, like we said, that'll be the biggest grossing one, but I think Public Enemies is going to get the bigger nods out of it, you know,
I can see it almost getting
The better film.
Yeah.
Right. I agree with that.
The box office until Harry Potter comes along, but yeah. Public Enemies will definitely be the better film.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if it wasn't in July, it might even get some Oscar stuff. I don't know. Being in July is kind of tough when it comes to Oscars, but Dark Knight pulled it off for a few of their things, so.
You almost kind of look at the rest of July and think they put it in there just because there wasn't much to go against. But
yeah, it's totally different film from anything else coming out that entire month.
And I don't think there's anything else that's going to compete even at all remotely with any other movie except for Funny People. I mean, and even then we haven't seen like anything.
There's not much going on about that one, so.
Bruno looks to be just like Borat in the humor, so it'll be interesting to see how that does in the box office.
Yeah. You kind of want that's just going to be overlooked too. You know, we've seen it, done it, kind of a thing. So
yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. It's just kind of like, look, we got this once. What, you know, why do we need it again? You know, but you never know.
Bruno or
Bruno? Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Funny People. Bruno, just because I loved Borat, I'm saying Bruno. It looked hilarious.
Yeah, I bet it'll be funny. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, it's just a matter of whether people are going to be interested in the same thing again. But nowadays, nowadays people kind of want, you know, like I said, they want to know what they're putting their money into.
There's going to be so many, like, soccer mom bitches complaining about that movie, though. I mean, looking for an excuse to complain about something.
I'm not going to see it in theaters. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, save your money.
Straight to DVD.
I Love You, Beth Cooper comes out that same day, and I saw this movie they did a screening for it last year. In a little theater, so I saw it, and it was funny. It was kind of like your super bad kind of, knocked up kind of film, and it was pretty funny. It'll be interesting to see if that same kind of film, although it's not Judd Apatow, if that same kind of film is still going to be popular, because you know, super bad, knocked up, those movies did really well, and but I get the feeling like probably I Love You, Beth Cooper probably won't fall into that.
Yeah.
Isn't the girl from Heroes in it?
Yeah, and she gets almost naked. It's pretty nice.
Ooh.
Yeah, you see some skin. It's pretty delicious.
I think that one's... is that on IMAX?
I wish.
3D?
3D, yeah. No, there's actually... The other girl, one of her friends in the film, she was really hot. I don't know her name. But it was a blonde. She has like a African-American friend, and she has a white friend. The white friend's like... super, super hot. I mean, they're both hot, but she's like, I was really like, woo. And they're all in there's a shower scene. That's where they kind of get almost naked.
Oscar nod.
Yeah, exactly.
Best picture, best cinematography, best special effects, exactly. Everything.
There you go. So,
got my vote.
This 500 Days of Summer, have you guys heard anything about this?
I don't.
No. I've been seeing it here and there, like the name, but I haven't really even paid attention to it.
I know it's getting really good reviews from people who saw it at Sundance this year.
I bet you that won't make any money.
Yeah, well, it won't make that much money, but I thought what was cool about it is Fox ran a contest for it, and they let the fans choose the poster for it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Not like it helped or anything.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, nothing else seems like great except for Funny People. I mean, you know, like I said, we haven't seen much about it, but given the people involved, I can't imagine it being horrible. What do you guys think?
I think it'll be funny. I mean, I don't even remember the teaser that much, but
yeah.
I think it'll... Just because it's a Judd Apatow movie and it's got Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, Adam Sandler, it's definitely going to draw the older crowd in.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go about that. The movie that I've heard really bad stuff about is this one called Orphan. It's like a horror film, but it just looks so bland.
The poster itself, they made it seem like it was, you know, some creepy poster, but it was just a mirror image, you know, and they made you look at it and say, so what? It's, I don't know, it's boring. It looks really boring. It doesn't look like it's going to be scary at all.
Yeah.
It just
seems weak.
I think that'll be the dud.
I agree.
Okay, so last but not least, we have August, the best month for summer movies.
The best month for anything.
Yeah, there you go.
Mine.
Yeah. Yeah. So the list of movies come out. August 7th, we have Cold Souls. We have G.I. Joe: Rise of the Cobra, Julian and Julia in shorts. And then August 14th, we have District 9, the Time Traveler's Wife and Taking Woodstock. August 21st, we have The Goods and The Inglorious Bastards. And then August 28th, we have Final Destination Death Trip 3D, Halloween 2, H2, and then The Boat That Rocked. So what do you guys think? Obviously, District 9 for us might be the most interesting one.
Speak for yourself.
Let's hope.
Yeah, no, really. From that footage I heard from the film blogs talking about how they saw some footage of the movie, it really is intriguing. I'm really excited for this film.
I wasn't invited to that, so.
I hate you. I feel bad. I feel so bad for you.
So bad for me.
I don't know. I mean, you guys still excited for this after all this time?
Maybe if I see a trailer.
Yeah, I won't see a trailer.
It's time for a trailer.
Yeah,
it's been talked about for so long now that I think it's going to start to die down if they don't do anything soon.
Yeah,
it's talked about for a long time now, but it's been only been talked about by the 13 people on the forum, you know?
Right.
Yeah, well, no, but with the whole stuff that they had thrown up at, what was it, the Comic-Con? Signs in everywhere. You know what, if you're going to start
and
throwing...
Right. They stopped for literally 6 months.
It drew attention at Comic-Con, but after that, it just dropped off the map.
Right, and you can't do that.
At that time, that was, the viral was the biggest thing to do at that time, so why not jump on it? Nobody else was doing it at that moment. The viral's already been done by Cloverfield and stuff, so nobody was doing it, so I'm going to throw some signs up everywhere, but I really don't have much to go on.
Yeah.
Right, and they still have time to do a big viral if they start it up soon. They start up after the trailer. But I think they should have waited until the trailer to start advertising the viral.
You're looking at most of the stuff that's going on in August has some sort of a teaser, a trailer,
right?
A poster, something on it. And it seems like District 9's,
They're really trying to keep it close to the vest, which it doesn't seem like it's the best solution, especially when you're coming out with an August film. Don't keep it close to the vest. You need to make some money.
Right.
I think it'll be a movie where once the trailer comes out, it's going to explode.
I think
although they actually, back in when they first debuted it, which I think was last August at Comic-Con, I think that's when it was, they actually, on the website, they had a place where you could sign up for email. So they have thousands, I would guess, of people's emails just listed. And can send out whatever they want. Mm-hmm. So they got the advertising done. They have that. So I mean, not what they need to get with the trailer that we'll get, but all those people that joined and started watching it from the beginning and stopped watching are going to get the email and then they're going to start again.
Yeah, it's still kind of a weird thing to do just to stop it for several months and then just to come back.
Yeah,
it's not a good idea. Well, I mean, and this is we're still in a new age of viral where people just don't know exactly what's the best way to do it yet. And so I can see why that.
Nick had said, obviously if we get, some sort of a trailer soon, then that'll be good. It's one of those things that you don't want to get too close to August and then just bombard everybody.
Right.
I mean, I personally look at, some of this Terminator stuff that seems to just come out of nowhere and it's every other day is something.
Yeah.
I know, obviously people are psyched about it and it could be a good thing, but I just hope that, District starts to spread it out a little bit more sporadically. They've got plenty of time to do it, so.
No, you're right. I mean, Terminator only comes out in a couple of weeks, like 2 weeks after Star Trek. So it's you're right. It's really kind of late for them to start doing this kind of thing. So if you spread it out better, I think it's easier to get people to follow it. If you try to do everything right away, you're only going to get the people who are already there.
Right.
Like Scott said, with Terminator, they're ramping it up so fast and so hardcore that it gets so hyped up, it's going to end up probably being like The Dark Knight, where it's an amazing film, but then after a while, you realize maybe it wasn't worth all that huge hype,
Yeah, that's one of the tough things with viral is making people feel like the viral was worth it, and making it feel like they don't feel gypped by the film because they.
There really hasn't been huge hype. It's just been huge hype between people who follow movies, I guess it depends on how you define hype.
All right,
but they're starting to toss out TV spots now, so that's good.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean you gotta find the right mix between viral and real marketing.
Right.
So the other big films, I think G.I. Joe seems like the other big film, although I can't imagine that being that good of a film from what I've seen.
How dare you? it's like one of those things. I look at August, you've got Halloween 2, Inglourious Bastards, and G.I. Joe. That's pretty much it for me for August. I could be
really
thrilled with just those three movies for the whole year, if you ask me. I'm psyched about them all.
So Final Destination, Death Trip is not really interesting you?
You know what? I actually like all those movies, but it's one of those that I'd rather wait for it on DVD, but the other, you know, those other three that I mentioned, have to see in a theater.
You won't get the 3D, though, if you wait. It's in 3D, right. So. No, the first one of the Final Destination was good, I thought. The rest I started trailing off at.
Yeah.
So you think G.I. Joe's going to be good?
You know, it's one of those things that, I mean, I grew up spending whatever money that I found on G.I. Joe's. I spent every day playing with G.I. Joe's.
Right.
And it's one of those things to where they, I don't know, I hope they don't ruin it, but, you know, they had, the original plot was Snake Eyes was going to talk at the end of the movie, and Channing Tatum, who wanted Snake Eyes, said, "I'm not doing the movie if he talks," kind of a, you know, so it's like, I don't know if they know exactly what they're doing, you know, you've got these characters been around for, you know, 20 years now, 20, 30 years, don't change them, but.
Yeah.
They seem to be, you know, mixing it up a little bit. They, you know, they got the Cobra Commander mask was released on the toy. Doesn't look anything like any of the previous ones do. It, you know, it could be interesting on the screen as opposed to a package for a toy, but.
Right.
It's like one of those things. You
know. Like Corey from the forum said, it looks like they tossed a squid on his face and forgot to take it off for a couple days.
Well, you know, you read mixed reviews that it looks like, you know, a cross between Darth Vader and, you know, Jason, and I don't know. It's one of those things that I personally wish they didn't change it.
It's probably a producer just saying, hey, we should do something different. You get a lot of that where you get people, they want to make the movie their own. They want to make it stand alone. And you tend to get a lot of, when you're making a movie, you get a lot of people throwing their hats in the ring, kind of saying, hey, this is what you should do, this is what you should do. And,
well, you look at, you know, Halloween 2. They want to make changes. They said 70% of the movie is going to be no mask.
That's weird.
You know, and a beard.
That's so weird.
So I don't know if they're trying to make it, you know, more of a, his own darker, dingy story to where it's, you know, it's a killer. It's not, you know, he doesn't wear a mask. If it comes off, he's not going to pick it back up. And, right. You know, so people change things. They do it for reasons, whether it works or not, who knows? I mean, somebody on the forum mentioned, you know, Michael Myers without a mask is Freddy without claws. But,
yeah,
you know,
I mentioned on the Slash Film, I was reading an article about that where, I think it was Peter was mentioning the fact that the mask is part of what makes him so scary. Kind of bland face. It's actually, by the way, in the originals, it was William Shatner. It was a mask of William Shatner.
Star Trek style.
Yeah, and so that's what made it so scary, because the idea that you don't know. That's one of the scariest things in the world, is not knowing. And so to kind of get rid of that, that's one of the reasons why he thought the first one wasn't that scary, was the other remakes, because, you know, you kind of learn who this guy was, and it's not as scary when you know who they are and why they do things. So I don't know. It's still a good film. The first one was, I mean, the remake was still good. It's just, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they go with the second one.
Yeah.
And, of course, Inglourious Bastards, you know, the one that's been, how long has Quentin Tarantino been working on this? It seems like he's been working on it forever, so.
Yeah, we should have had Christian be a special guest. He could have filled us in on all this.
Oh, yeah.
I think, like I said, I'm really looking forward to the G.I. Joe, but I think this movie's going to be, you know, a perfect Tarantino film, like, right. You know, everything else that he's done. It's just,
yeah.
He works on things, he takes his time, he gets it where he wants it to, and you know it's his film by the end of it, so.
Yeah,
I think he's going to get rave reviews because it's him.
Yeah, I mean, I personally liked everything he's done. I mean, there's a few films in there that in his catalog that some people like and don't like, but me personally, I think everything he's done has been really great. And so this would just kind of go along the lines in that trailer for it they had, or the clips. I can't remember if it was a full trailer or not, but the clips I've seen, the whole "I want my scalps" and everything. It's so Quentin. It looks so good.
Right. that should be decent. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to come out and say it. I couldn't care less about that movie. It doesn't appeal to me. Yeah, it's a World War II movie. Yeah, it's a Quentin Tarantino movie. It didn't work for me. I'm not looking forward to it.
I can imagine. Sorry, Nick, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, wait, who's that?
wasn't me. I don't know anything about that movie.
No, that was me.
Oh.
But again, it's one of those things to where it's not. I don't think he's putting it out there as a World War II movie.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a Quentin Tarantino.
It's a movie based in the time frame. But it's not a war movie.
Right.
You know,
I mean, I like Tarantino as a director, but some of his movies have just I haven't seen all of them, but it just seems like it seems over the top with how he does his blood.
That's who he is.
The thing is, it takes away from the movie if it's just a blood fest in some scenes. I don't like it. Like Kill Bill, there were good movies, but the excessive blood and chopping the chick's head off and seeing her brain, it was just so ridiculous and stupid.
But that's the thing. He's going to have his fan base, and you know, people aren't going to stray from him, and you know, he's going to upset a few people because of the style of his movies, because of the color of his movies, everything about his movies. They're different.
Right.
He's a different director. He's a different writer. He's a different actor. So
yeah, that's just who he is. I mean, he kind of thrives on being different. And for me, I'm not a war movie fan at all, but this movie really interests me, and that's pretty much the way that Quentin works. And it's one of the things I learned when I was taking one of my writing classes in college was everyone wants to write like Quentin Tarantino because it looks so cool, but then you got to realize that he's not writing the right way most of the time, and you have to learn the rules before you can break them. And so that's one of the things about Quentin knows the rules. I mean, he is just entrenched in pop culture and all that other stuff, so he knows what works and how to do it, and he knows how to turn it on its head. And so I mean, obviously there's people who don't like that, and it's not their style. I mean, I don't like the style of certain people too. But there's some people that, just really like that. Just turning on its head is it's something different, and that's hard to say nowadays in film to be able to say that you can do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So
with the movie, it'll be a good movie, and it'll win awards, and it'll be recognized, and it'll be this high movie that'll get a lot of box office attention. But I can't see myself liking it.
Yeah, and you're gonna get and that's the point with Quentin Tarantino. You have the people who love.
Maybe I'll end up eating my words though. Maybe I'll end up. One of the best movies ever. I don't know. But for right now, I can't say I'm interested.
Yeah. That's Clinton for you. That's how he works.
I guess just because you said he's not marketing it as a World War II movie, but it's still taking place in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
I love all this blood and all this action and stuff. It's just like, I don't know. I can't jump on board with this one for some reason.
It's actually every movie since the Vietnam War, excluding every World War II movie, since the Vietnam War, excluding Saving Private Ryan, has really never been a World War II movie.
Right.
And that's true. And Saving Private Ryan is actually on the border. But if you... It's hard to make a World War II movie.
Because if it's a World War II movie, it's going to end up being more of like a documentary type thing.
And again, right. And it's one again. I think, you take a look at some of these other movies that are based on the war, I think this is going to be... This is based more of... I'm not going to say behind the scenes, but, it's a group of people that are, on their own. They've got their agendas. They're going to do what they got to do kind of a thing. So it's not so much in the war. It's just part of it.
Yeah.
You mentioned the stuff with the violence and things like that. You take a look at a lot of these war movies, and I think they put the violence in there because it was there to begin with.
Right.
Saving Private Ryan was a massive gory flick.
Yeah, I mean, the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan, it's haunting. Yeah.
Old movies, Full Metal Jacket and Platoon were disturbing. They may not have been, graphically violent with the blood and everything like that as much as some of the newer ones, but disturbing as they were there, and I think you kind of have to do it because it's
with warm. Platoon, I think the funniest thing with Platoon is when in Naked Gun, when they're doing that whole montage scene with them on the date or whatever, and they're walking out of Platoon laughing their asses off. Oh my God. And everyone else is like, what the hell is wrong with people?
There you go.
So, if you're going to do it in that time frame, whether it's a war movie or whether it's a movie that's taking place during the war, you have to grit it up a little bit because that's
I can understand that, but it just for some reason it just seems war itself is over the top. But
his will be definitely be more, blood and guts than you think it would be, I'm sure. I mean, he's got Eli Roth is directing one of the scenes in the movie is
scalps. That's enough right there to prove you that it's going to be really bloody.
So, but that's what he does. So, I look forward to it.
Yeah. So out of the films, what do you think is going to be the biggest one in August? I know August is not exactly a big box office month, but what do you guys think is going to do the best? I mean, to my imagination, I imagine it's going to be between G.I. Joe, District 9, and Inglourious Basterds.
I think Inglourious Basterds will win.
What do you guys?
I think it. Personally, I'm looking at movies like Halloween 2 just because of the fact that, it's a follow-up. The other one did well. It didn't do, I don't think, fantastic, but it did well. People look at Rob's, you know, movies and they want to see him. I personally want to see it, so I think that would probably be one of the bigger ones in August, is Halloween 2.
Yeah, I think I think G.I. Joe is probably going to be the best.
I would say G.I. Joe. But then again, it depends on what District 9 does or Inglourious Basterds do with advertising, how they do with that.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see how important advertising is going to be in the next couple months. When it comes to these August films, that's really going to be the key. I mean, we see in June and July where it looks pretty much locked up, I think, in the way that how these movies are going to be received. But August, it's just far enough away where there's a lot that could be changing in here, and that's really interesting to see.
It is a toss-up right now.
Yeah. Yep.
August is always kind of a volatile month. I mean, I think the only movie that's really kind of shown that August can be a bankable month is the Matt Damon movies, the Bourne films. His movies have always come out in August, and they always make great money. So I think that's really the only, especially the only franchise, but probably some of the only films that have really done well in August. But with the summer becoming so jam-packed nowadays, you know, I mean, they're moving it up to, you know, May 1st is now the summer. That was never the case before. They're starting to have to kind of think, maybe August, let's start trying to roll out some films in August now. So they need to kind of spread out the summer because you're just getting so jam-packed. I mean, we saw how we spent half our podcast on May, you know? So it's coming to the age now where you have to make August bankable somehow.
I think the whole year, obviously they say with the economy the way it is, the movie ticket sales have gone up.
Yeah.
It'll kind of give you a little bit of a relief from the fact that, you know, your life is getting messy. So you can watch stuff that, you know, you can look at on the screens and things. So I don't know. I think that it's going to be a pretty decent year all around. I'm looking at, here we are talking about all these things. I'm looking at some of these movies and I don't really see many Oscar.
Yeah.
Worthy movies for the year. I think that both that rocked might be one of those, what you can mention, but I don't know. I just don't see anything giant this year, but I think just the whole, from start to finish, it's just going to do well.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of movies that just look like they're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
So nothing, maybe no Dark Knights out there, but, you get a couple Da Vinci Code money and you're pretty set.
Yep.
All right, so
actually, before we end, I want to do one more movie, and I know it's not coming out during the summer, but its original date was. You think we could talk about 2012 for a minute?
Sure. Yeah, it was originally supposed to be.
Its original release date was July 31st. So.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of that film?
I personally could care less about it.
It doesn't
interest me one bit.
Because it's a Roland Emmerich movie, and I've never liked his movies that much. But something about this one just seems like it'll probably suck, but it'll probably be eye candy, because him doing The End of the World, that's what he does best, is make disaster movies.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think, if anything, it will make bank, but I think the studio pushing him back to November
is a bad sign.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to hurt it. But yeah. I think once we get like a full trailer and some TV spots, I think that'll definitely draw in some boku bank, because all of his movies draw money. I mean, 10,000 BC, it was a steaming pile, but it still brought in bank.
Right.
What do you think?
I think it, again, depends on how they market it. I think it can do really well. I think it can do really bad.
Yeah.
And it also depends on how good the film is, obviously. You could absolutely torture that film. It's hard to do.
But I think as long as you just provide some eye candy and an actual end of the world situation, that I think it'll definitely be good. And it's also a movie that we're also following on the side with Charlie Frost videos every week.
Yeah, that's actually. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Seth.
No, I was just going to say, it's almost one of those things that, you know, here's a movie about the end of the world, and people in their heads may be thinking that with all the stuff that's going on, you know, in real life,
right there.
You kind of wonder if they really, really want to see that right now.
Yeah.
But you say it's an end of the world disaster movie, and right there, right then and there, that draws people in. Disaster fact.
Yeah, people like that big stuff. They it'd be interesting. Like I've been out of all the virals. I mean, I've had to follow all of them for my This Week in Virals. But I think that 2012 has been kind of one of the more interesting ones to me. The Charlie Frost videos. I mean, you have Woody Allen doing viral videos for a movie. I mean, there's maybe a scent of desperation, but it's also a scent of more kind of let's try some different things, and so that's cool. And you know, the site's really nice looking, and I actually wasn't really that interested in this film until I started following the viral, and then I started thinking, this stuff's kind of cool, I wonder to see how this goes. And
I think the viral hold-up is actually pretty better about virals of the year.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely...
But like, next set of marketing, I mean, that's kind of with every movie now. Marketing either makes your film or it breaks it.
Right. And it's been very consistent, too. I mean, it's been,
I don't know. I really haven't seen to base that off of, but it just seems like if you don't market your film very well, it doesn't get appealed to to a very large audience. And if you do market it, like you do with Star Trek or Terminator, posters and TV spots every other day, it's going to make bank.
Yeah, that's really kind of the key of it. I mean, 2012 just looks, with all the viral they've been doing in a consistent manner. I mean, Charlie Frost is putting out the videos every week. You know, sometimes once in a while it skips a week, but I mean, it's been pretty consistent with his videos at least. And then, you know, every month or so, it seems like the IHC site has been updating. So you know, it's been nothing too big. It's nice to see that they're not kind of rushing it, but they're keeping a nice steady pace.
But isn't it too soon?
It is pretty early, though. I mean, now, granted, I imagine they started this stuff when they thought it was going to come out in July.
Right, and they can't stop.
Right.
But that's what District 9 did.
So the interesting thing is, I think District 9 was always supposed to come out in August, so then it was just a bad plan.
Right, yeah, but they just kind of
stopped. So now they're trying to make the best of a situation.
Yeah.
So the question will be, can they stretch it out, or do they have a contingency plan for that? Would they continue to do stuff up until this point, or will they have to kind of stop it for a while and then come back? So that'll be interesting to see if they have some sort of contingency plan for the movie being pushed back. That could be really important as far as how well the movie does. A big problem with that film, however, though, I'm noticing now is that the next...
Sounds like you just put a slasher on your voice, dude. I couldn't hear any of that.
Sorry. Well, on my side, it's perfect because I'm doing the recording, so that's good. I was just saying that because the viral is so the movie came out later than what they thought, that they're going to have to find a way to stretch out the viral.
They have to keep it going, yeah. So hopefully it doesn't one of those things where they, you know, the writing of the viral gets weak because they got to keep up with it. But
I don't want them to thin it out, you know, like watery, if you will. What I was saying is that one of the problems I think the film's going to have as far as money goes is that you're having the week after New Moon comes out. Now, granted, it may not be the same market, but I mean, you saw how much money that the first one made. So I mean, I think that could be something that stamps it from stops it from making so much money. New Moon is the Twilight movie.
Yeah, New Moon get close to make whatever the fourth one's called to make bank. The movies they make after that aren't even based off books will make bank. Edward Cullen solo movie will make bank.
It's all about making money. They had the first one only had like $37 million budget, which is nothing. And I don't know how much this one is. I think it's around 50 or so. But they're finding ways to. I mean, the film's not that great, but they're finding ways to make cheap films and make tons of money off of it. That's what more can you ask for? if you're a studio person, at least.
Yep. Another movie, too, that, I don't think it's been 100% confirmed, but they're saying that the Watchmen director's cut is coming back out in theaters in July.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Forgot about that.
They're going to kick that up to, I think, almost 3 hours of film.
I heard
three-plus hours
yes.
of film or something.
Well, no, because the original was, the one in theaters now was like 2.25.
2.30, I think, or something.
And
like
I think Snyder said the director's cut was like almost 3.5.
It's going to be even more.
That'll be interesting to see.
The stuff that, you know, I think, you know, in one of my original reviews, too, I was upset that they cut some of the stuff out of that film. Obviously, you know, with the 2.5-hour mark on it, you can't put everything in it. But some of the bigger stuff that was cut out of the movie, they're now going to put back in the director's cut. So it should be, I don't know, it should be cool. I don't know if I'm going to go back to the theaters to watch the director's cut, but I'll definitely get it.
They need an intermission.
It's one of those things, too, because, you know, you go out to the theaters and, 2.5 hours, and it didn't seem like 2.5 hours to me because I knew what was coming up.
Right.
But you kind of wonder what 2.5 hours felt like for somebody that didn't read the book. So
yeah,
I didn't read the book, and it didn't feel like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's one of the films that for me I was surprised by how I hate long films, but that was a movie where I kind of wanted to see more. And it's very rare for me to want to see a movie that's almost 3 hours. I want to see more. That's something that's good about the film. That I think that could help it make some pretty good money in July when it comes back out.
You say you hate long movies, but movies in general are getting longer now. I mean, movies before used to be an hour, an hour and a half. I mean, the first movie was like, 5 minutes? Now every movie that comes out it's.
But at a certain point, you have to, you know, hit that editing button. You know, hit that cut and trim button. You need to.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be get to the point where movies are going to be 5 hours long, but in general, now the average running time for movies is around 2 hours.
Yeah.
You look at extended cuts of like Lord of the Rings; those all run like almost 5 hours a pop.
Yeah,
that, you put.
That doesn't mean it's, that doesn't mean it's a good thing.
You got a full interview.
That doesn't mean it's a good thing. All right. So, any final thoughts anybody wants to say about the summer? What do you guys think is going to be the biggest? Do you think you guys think that Transformers is going to do the most money?
I do. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
What do you think, Scott?
Me, you know, it's like I think.
You think the ugly
probably some of the bigger ones, some of the bigger ones might be, you know, you got Star Trek. I think, you know, Terminator is going to do well.
Right.
I don't know. I think personally, I'm thinking maybe Star Trek.
I think the only reason why
is it's something that hasn't been touched on in so long that
right. A lot of people are clamoring for it. I think for me the big issue is going to be the fact that Transformers comes out in what is it, June. June 24th, and there's not a lot of stuff going against it. May is really jam packed, whereas the end of June, you know, there's some movies coming out, but nothing that big that's gonna, you know, you're not looking at any other, you know, 200 plus million movies. So I think just the time frame alone is gonna help Transformers probably do the best.
May is gonna be more of a redemption month because you look at movies right now, there's nothing good coming out. I mean, tomorrow we have Dragon Ball Evolution, you know, woo-hoo, you know, stop the press, front page news right here, boys.
Hey, there's some people. There's some people that are really excited about that. So,
sadly, yeah, I heard about
for them on the forum.
Yeah, no.
And no offense to anyone on the forum that likes it. Hey, cool, whatever floats your boat, bro. But,
yeah, you're right.
And
though.
Then
it's this time of year. It's very common.
But then we have May. Every movie, every week in May has a movie. I mean, in order, you have X-Men, Wolverine, Star Trek, Angels and Demons, Terminator, and Up. That right there is
massive
bank.
It's pretty crazy. So, yeah, I mean, that's summer. And, you know, you kind of you wait a little while, and then you just kind of throw everything in the summer. And it's funny to see how, despite how many movies they put there, they still all make good money. And it's just that time of year. People just really want to see movies.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I got a question.
Huh?
With, like we said, Star Trek and Terminator, those are the two movies that are going to compete the most in May.
Right.
Regardless of who wins, what do you guys think each movie will make box office wise?
That's tough.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'm not good at predicting numbers.
I would guess Terminator and Star Trek probably maybe somewhere around 200 million.
Overall, no, they're going to make more than that. I imagine that you're going to see both Star Trek and Terminator make probably maybe over 225, 230 at least.
Ladies and gentlemen, former Mr. President.
I go by President George W. Bush. It's okay.
You don't like former?
No, just President. I'm still the decider.
Oh, yeah. So what have you decided about this summer's box office?
I've decided it is. It's. I believe it's. You know, you gotta take into account a square. You gotta take into account multiple different things, like the economic times. We're doing very well. Very well right now. Everyone is. You know, you got a lot of boxes around. You know, people are shipping things, and you got to wonder if Office will be buying them, offices. And I believe Steve Carell is very good in The Office. He's awesome.
So who do you think will win the box office this year?
Actually, I have a more important question. Is there a correlation between the box office and box sales?
There is, yeah.
Elaborate.
The more people move, the more people watch movies.
See, you gotta. There's a lot of different factors. You gotta. There's dots. You gotta connect them. It's like that connect the dots game. I played that a lot in my spare time. I did it as
president. What you're saying is Star Trek will win the box office.
No, I believe. What's that? Will Ferrell guy? He's in the.
Yeah,
the dinosaur movie. I believe that looks awesome. I'm a big fan of dinosaurs.
That's the official word from the President Bush.
George W. Bush. W.
Yeah, don't forget that.
George W. Bush.
I like dinosaurs.
Just, yeah, www.movieviral.com.
Bush.
Bush.
All right.
Copyright owner.
You legally change your name for us?
Yes. Harry Hat.
All right. Well, Mr. President, would you like to tell us about the contest we have going on our website?
I believe it's fantastic. The idea of taking a word, clover, and changing one letter in it, the O, to an E, was very clever. See, what I took the word we used in the contest, and I used it myself.
Wow, that's very,
that was
very
clever of me, too. Yeah, clever. Clever field.
Very, very true. So, yes, we have a contest on our website right now where you can see the commercial on our main page or on our YouTube or, multiple places where we're advertising it. Basically, if you create a Cloverfield sequel for us, what we will do, if you are the winner of our contest, we will then send you out a copy of Hancock on Blu-ray. So you have to be a member of the forum in order to do this, so make sure if you're not to sign up. And then we will judge nominees, and then we'll have the actual members of the forum vote to see which one's the best idea. So it's 250 words.
That's how democracies work.
Exactly.
So, also, if you want to submit a poster and you win with the poster, we'll give you a custom color of your name.
Yeah. So if I think it's more for people who are in the forums, I think that's where it's really exciting because they like to have their names in certain colors. So if you create a poster with you still have to submit a story in order to even be eligible. But if all you care about is the poster, you can create a crappy story and just submit a good poster. Do you think you'll submit a story, Mr. Bush?
I'm a big fan of books. I read a lot. It's writing one is a little different. So probably, I might send my secretary to do one.
Okay.
Or Laura. Laura's a she. Yeah.
We would you like Cloverfield?
What?
Well, we can have a special contest for Mr. Bush.
Yeah.
You can write the sequel to Everybody Poops.
I already have. I'll send it in tomorrow.
I look forward to reading
it. It's more called, like it's called
I called it Everybody Poopies.
Wow. What you can do, Mr. Bush, is you can send us more pictures of your first grade artwork and essays.
I will. I'll do that. Consider it done.
Contest ends the 20th,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, so for those still listening to us, you have April 20th is the last day for the contest, so make sure you submit it in by then. Well, so that's it. I hope you enjoyed our summer movie preview and our special guest, George W. Bush.
America.
All right. I thank everyone for joining us, Ian, Nick, and Scott. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
For more Vilecasts, go to movieviral.com, your number one source for Movie Viral news.